Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it used to be when a musician that you love passed away, that was the end.
Well, yeah, what else can you do?
You had concert footage, you had albums, but you were never going to get to experience their energy live again. But there is a, it's not new, but it's becoming a more popular way to relive the experience of that artist.
How can you? They're gone, Pat.
No, they are gone, but they have left things behind. And one man's tour announced over the weekend is a reminder that there is a hell of a market if they want to go down this road.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. We will jump right into it. Earlier this week, Jason Bonham, son of Led Zeppelin legend John Bonham.
Yeah, he's been on the road for years.
Yes, Jason has. John Bonham, not. Yeah. He's been dead.
Right.
He announced that he and his Led Zeppelin experience will be, once again, touring in 2025 this summer. And if he's been here before, I've heard really good things about the show, people that have been. If you want to go, the closest this tour is coming in 2025 is the Landmark Theater in Syracuse,
New York. Not that far.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. He is a hell of a drummer.
Yeah.
Like, very talented.
Just like his daddy.
And he has played with Page and Plant in Zeppelin reunion shows, sitting in for his dad. So it's not like he doesn't have the credentials and all that stuff. But I think you can also make a pretty solid argument that the only reason he has a career as a headlining, touring musician behind a drum set...
So why do you think that might be?
...would be his dad's name.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
There's been a few sons of famous people that have toured.
So let's go down the... I'm sorry, Kim.
I was going to say yes and are currently touring.
Yeah, you got
it. So a short list of the most successful children of rock stars that are making it as rock stars. Yeah. Wolfgang Van Halen, Eddie's kid. He played bass in Van Halen starting when he was like 14.
Yeah.
And he has his own touring band now, which is doing well. You got Sean and Julian Lennon separately. Son of John Lennon, obviously. Both had minor pop hits in the 80s. Deacon Frey.
Okay.
Son of Glenn Frey. Right. He stepped in for his dad in the Eagles lineup after Glenn passed away. He's now doing the solo thing. Did you know that Sons of Metallica drummer Lars Ulrich, Miles and Lane are in a band together called Taipei Houston?
Taipei Houston?
Which sounds like a hipster Asian restaurant in Texas.
So are they doing just covers of Metallica?
No, they're doing their own original music. Oh, yeah.
But I was thinking like Dweezil Zappa.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kimmy has no idea who that is.
I don't know who Dweezil Zappa.
Do you know who Frank?
Well, yes.
Sorry.
I mean, I can.
You know Frank?
I can put two and two together.
Who's Frank Zappa?
A weird musician.
Wow. Well, okay, we'll take it. She's on the board.
To describe it.
And I think you can argue the most successful child of a musician to do it himself would be Jacob Dylan.
Okay.
Son of Bob Dylan, lead singer of the Wallflowers. They had a couple hits. I think you could also make an argument for Wilson Phillips.
All right.
Right.
The one that comes to my mind. And I'm going way back to my parents' generation. So when the father was still alive when the son was also touring.
Every time. Every single time.
But my father goes, we went to visit my mother's side of the family. He goes, went to Auburn.
Oh, yeah.
Saw Sinatra at the club.
Wait, he was in Auburn?
Yes. So I go, get out of here.
Sinatra.
He goes, we went to, we saw at the Auburn Country Club, we saw Sinatra.
At the Auburn Country Club?
Yes.
Did he know somebody?
He got in, man. He got in. To see Frank Sinatra Jr. But that kid made a long living until he died doing an exact impression of his father.
Well, yeah, you know why? It's not hard to do an impression of Frank Sinatra. Because he just talks.
Do Frank Sinatra.
He doesn't sing. He just talks over music. I'm taking your money. I'm just talking over a bunch of instruments.
All right, I want to push your talent a little bit.
All right, go ahead.
Do Frank Jr.
Still doing the same. It's the same thing. It's just me talking, baby. Check it out. No, I mean, you're right. Like, this has existed for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, in the last couple of years, and maybe it's social media making people more familiar with these people. Maybe it's the idea that...
But you're not getting... I don't know if you get disappointed seeing it. Because you're not... Like, especially if the guy's gone.
Okay.
And you're seeing this kid. Because it's not going to be the same show. You know what I mean?
But do you just want to be close to that once great artist. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's just the fact that you're seeing something close to what was.
Right. Like, didn't Bob Marley's kids try to do this?
Every one of Bob Marley's kids.
The one that played for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, he was also a musician. Yeah, there have been, like, 5 Marleys that have had, like, hits. It's also not hard to get a hit in the reggae world.
Yeah, true.
It's like Sinatra. Hey, baby, smoking the ganja.
We're jamming, baby. We're jamming.
All right. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because I know there are people that are listening that have gone to these shows of children of rock stars, or may even be fans of the bands that they're in now. Mm-hmm. Are you going because you're close to the genetics of a legend? Are you going because you can no longer see their mother or father? Or are you going because you legitimately enjoy the talent that this artist has? Because I think you can make an argument. Now, it's a blessing, obviously, that you have this built-in audience if you play similar music to what your father or mother did, right? But it can also be a curse. If you are a good musician and that would have made it on their own.
You can't break away.
Exactly.
Like, especially if it's that big of a name.
And just using Jacob Dylan, the Wallflowers, I'm sorry, Kimmy. Yeah. The Wallflowers would have had those hits whether he was Bob Dylan's son or not.
Yeah.
But they always referred to him as Bob Dylan's son.
Because that guy is so iconic.
Agreed.
You know?
But I do feel bad for Jacob Dylan.
I do.
I think, though, if you're paying money to go see one of the kids of these artists and they're doing their own thing, like it's completely separate or different from what their parents did, like they're really trying to separate themselves, I think you would only go to that if you enjoy their current music. Like, I don't think you would go to that because you want to see somebody famous's kid performing. Like, I would think you want to be close to it. It's not about the music if you're going to see somebody's kid in like a tribute band for their parent.
Who is that kid, though? What child of a rock star went in a different direction of their parents' music? I can't think of one.
I mean, Bob Dylan's kid. It wasn't anything like his dad's music.
They played reggae.
What?
Oh, Bob Dylan. I'm sorry. I've been thinking Bob Marley. No, I mean, no.
What did I miss?
No, but here's the thing. I don't think that the Wallflowers was contemporary rock. Which you can make an argument Dylan was at that point.
But I'm saying he wasn't playing poets. Yeah, he wasn't playing his
one
dad's
headlight.
He wasn't. I'm talking about the people that go out
and they're basically replicating
their parents' music or playing in the band that their parents were in.
You're right, but I would argue that everyone we just named, right? Wolfgang Van Halen, Sean and Julian Lennon, Deacon Frey, Miles. I haven't actually heard Taipei Houston, so I don't know that one. But they all play music similar to what their parents played.
Yeah.
So you are kind of tapping into that audience.
I don't know.
They tried to hear it for the jazz festival a long time ago when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a group of kids that their fathers were jazz legends, and they came out as Bloodline.
Ooh, I like that name.
Yeah, but they were like 3 boys that their fathers were famous. But you could do jazz like that. Like, you could basically see them perform that music. No, it's all instrumental.
Yeah.
It's easy to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong about that.
That you could pull off.
Because, like, here's the thing, man.
They almost look like young versions, like you're saying, like, that guy back in the 50s.
Okay, but that you bring up an interesting point, because you and I have this argument all the time, which is weird that you have this take as the old guy.
What's that?
Again, 252-WCMF. We're talking about Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience. They're touring again this summer. They've come to Rochester before.
Mm-hmm.
They're a great show.
Yeah.
He's coming to Syracuse. That's the closest he'll be. But there has now been this massive upswing.
Mm-hmm.
Of children of rock and roll music legends that are now doing their own music thing, and people that will go only because they were fans of them as parents. I have argued that going to see a legend musician, even in their old age, your Billy Joels, your Ringo Starrs, your Paul McCartneys, is worth the price of admission because it makes you feel young hearing the songs. Even if they can't do it the way they used to, you're in the room with this legend, and you think it's depressing.
Well, because you're watching at the end of their career, they can't pull those songs up like they could in their prime when that music was a hit.
Sure.
So they just don't have the chops.
Okay. I'll ask you this. If you feel old going to watch your icon that is also aged, do you feel younger watching their kid because you're getting a younger version of that person? Or do you feel older because you're watching the next generation of them perform?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
I think if I have to look at an old person and I'm old, that's going to bother me more.
So you would rather go see the kid?
Yeah.
That's going to make you feel... That's weird.
Well, you're not old yet, man. When you look at an old face through your old face, it's disturbing. Because then when you realize, oh, that's what I actually look like.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Counterpoint, though.
I'm on a different journey.
I am at the point in my life where I've had experiences where I haven't seen people's kids in like 5 years, and all of a sudden they're adults.
Yeah.
Like, they were like babies, and they're adults.
Yeah.
That makes me feel older than crap. Yeah. And that's what you'd be seeing. Like, oh, remember when Wolfgang Van Halen was out with Valerie Bertinelli and his dad, and they got a picture taken, and now he's 30?
Yeah.
And you're watching. You're paying ticket, paying money to go see him play.
Right. But anytime I see these old cats, because, you know, I like jazz, and some of these guys are still around.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come out, man, it looks sad as crap. Like, sometimes the worst ones are when you get there, and then all of a sudden, like, they try to, like, confuse you a little bit to bring them on stage because it's going to take them so long.
They're running diversions?
Yes.
Too fast.
You know, they got to sit them down.
Da-da-da,
yes.
Da-da-da.
Like when I saw Aretha, man.
Well, yeah, but you saw her when she was, what, 70?
Yeah, and, you know, she's big.
Yeah, she's always been big, man.
No, she's big.
Okay, 252 WCMF. We're talking about the children of rock stars and paying money to see them and the reason that you do. Let's talk to Tom. Hey, Tam, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, I was telling Kim that I just saw Jason Bonham was just here in December.
Yes.
At Summit Kodak Center, and it was fantastic.
Okay, no, I know the show is good. I'm not trying to besmirch John Bonham. He is a legitimately on his own amazing musician. Tom, I will ask you, though, did you go to see him as a person, or did you go because you wanted to hear Zeppelin?
Well, because I wanted to hear Zeppelin, and I know that's what he was doing. You know, that's his thing, okay? But it was cool because they do it really well. The guitar player, he kind of pulls off a Jimmy Page thing, even does some of his moves and stuff, you know, the whole thing. And they don't present it as anything else but this is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, I get you.
Hey, does he talk to the audience?
Different. What's that?
Does Jason talk to the audience? Like about his old man?
Yeah, talk some stories and stuff. Now, the coolest thing was...
That'd be cool.
Zeppelin was supposed to be coming here in 81 to Buffalo. We were going. The show was in November. He died a month before. That, I mean, I was supposed to go see actual Zeppelin.
Man, you were out $8.
I do hate that, but go on, John. I'm sorry.
Exactly. But the cool thing was they came out and they started off with In the Evening from the album, from the In Through the Outdoor album.
That is pretty cool.
And then he came out and he told the story, blah, blah, blah. That was good. That was the opening song for that tour. It kind of gave you a little chill. It was like, oh, my God.
All right, so you're saying anybody that's thinking about going and doing something like this, you encourage them to go?
Oh, I would definitely go see that show anyway. That was fantastic. Like I said, they're not presenting it as anything, but this is going to be, you know, Led Zeppelin evening, and they do it, and they do it very well.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks for the call, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Take it easy, guys.
There goes Zeppelin-loving Tom. $8. It does. It makes me so mad when I see those old ticket prices, man. I get so mad. Right. Go see The Who in Cincinnati for some. Well, maybe not there. But any other place for $6. I'm sorry. Only the deepest of... Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Mm. You know, I can't keep getting... As we talk about, like, you know, the most successful of the child artists. Like, you know, Jason Bonham is making a living touring.
Sure.
But he's never going to have his own album
where
people are going to run out and buy it. Yeah. Same with Sean and Julian Lennon, Deacon Frey, you know. Wilson Phillips and... Because Wilson Phillips was... It was Brian Wilson's daughters.
Yeah.
And who
it's a lot of confusion in that band.
Could you look up who the parents of Wilson Phillips was? Thank you. It wasn't Mama Cass's.
No, it was the other chick.
Okay. Anyway.
The skinny one.
Those.
Which was skinny?
No, nothing we could do. you got the jumpsuit.
Daughter of John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas.
Okay. So she was the one in the miniskirt.
Gotcha. And then Brian Wilson's daughters were the other ones. Okay, gotcha. So, like, again, they were actual, like, pop stars, right?
Right.
So I wonder if someone like Jason Bonham wishes he has the ability to go and do his own thing without facing blowback from, you know, folks that would hate him for getting away from his father's music. Same with someone like Deacon Frey. Like, that has to be really hard. Like, Wolfgang Van Halen playing with his dad, that's a dream scenario.
Yeah.
Right, for a kid. Like, this is amazing. You watched it happen. I'm sharing this with my father. You had all those years. Now you're carrying on the legacy. I don't know if Glenn Frey, the guitarist for the Eagles' son, played with the Eagles before Glenn passed away.
So,
like, now... You actually have to be your dad.
Yeah.
You're in the band with them.
Yeah.
Go be dad.
It's basically you're just doing an impression of your old man.
Yeah. His buddies.
Yeah.
Are these bands like the only bands that will be able to pull this off where people care so much about those bands that they're willing to see the next generation.
Well, they
got
to be iconic
music.
To make it work.
Because I can't think of like anybody I listened to growing up where I would care so much about that band that I would want to hear their kids playing that.
Us growing up,
you know what I mean? Like I don't know if that kind of
David Grohl's kid, Foo Fighters.
So you would go see Foo. Okay, that might be.
And maybe I mean, look, if you know, so Tony. Now we're getting deep in the weeds here. If we're talking 90s kids,
yeah.
Kimmy and I were just talking about this off the air the other day. Are you aware that Tony Hawk's son?
Wait,
and
the skateboarder?
Tony Hawk's son
and Kurt Cobain's daughter are married.
Okay. I think you told me this before.
So they just had a baby, which means this baby's grandparents are Tony Hawk, Courtney Love, and Kurt Cobain.
Okay.
The quintessential 90s kings and queens.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. If you told me.
Yeah.
In 20 years,
yeah.
that grandbaby was starting a band.
Like play Nirvana covers
I'm
or something.
I'm going. You
okay.
can't.
All right.
But Tony Hawk.
All right.
Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain. I'm going to that show.
All right. Fair enough.
Does he come out on a skateboard? Because that'd be
Well, you would have to. Yeah. You're going to be playing this.
Even if he can't even do it, you just roll out.
You're playing.
Just roll him out on it.
And I will say now, I'll make this prediction. Because Taylor Swift doesn't have any kids yet. We don't know. Beyonce has her daughter.
Right.
Her daughter made an appearance in that halftime show with a Netflix.
Yeah, because she was standing next to her, right?
Blue Ivy. Yeah. That kid, if she wants to do it, will have that kind of following.
I will say there's certain. I would say though, like there are certain performers that you can't replicate as even if they had kids.
Example.
Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
I mean, to really do it right, and I know there's like shows.
Yeah.
But to really pull off Michael Jackson, Prince would be another one. Was so iconic. To really reenact a Prince show, what the energy those guys put into those shows was phenomenal.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And then you got like Sinatra.
Again, the energy he put into those shows. What was that famous one he did in Vegas where it was like he just blew the doors off the place?
I'm in Vegas now. Look at me. He was actually playing craps while he was doing this. Hey, can I get a drink over here? Yeah, look at me now doing... The singing for you.
But his son, Frank Jr., I don't know if he could have pulled it off.
Oh, no, he did that tribute show
in
Vegas.
Oh, he did? How'd it go?
Another drink now, the one my dad ordered 30 years ago. Same one, please. Hey, look at me. Give me your money, stupid. Take a break.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Does it get more embarrassing than having your credit card decline?
Oh, yeah.
And it's something a bunch of people here in Rochester experienced all at once earlier this week.
What happened? They all come up a little short?
No, all these people had money.
That's what everybody says. Hey, try the other card.
And that's what's funny, man.
I don't know what
it must be the strip. The strip's all screwed up.
Bro, and that's the worst part of this whole effing story. Mm-hmm. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We'll jump right into it. On Monday morning. People who have ESL Visa debit cards got a very unwelcome surprise.
What happened?
Their cards, every time they tried to use them, were getting declined.
Ooh, came up chintz.
Story on 10NBC says there was an issue with the credit union where people who had these cards, like they literally couldn't pay for anything.
Yeah.
And when they tried to use them, it came up as insufficient funds. Like your bank account was empty.
Your ass broke.
So one woman tells a story about her husband who works as a contractor. He was remodeling an office building.
Mm.
He went to Lowe's Monday morning to buy a $10 item, and they kept declining his card. And he was telling the folks at Lowe's, he was literally telling them how much money he had in his bank account. Yeah. I have thousands of dollars in there.
Yeah.
And there was nothing they could do. He had to wait on the project until all of this got remedied.
Ooh, that costs.
So the good news.
What's the good news?
By noon on Monday, ESL had it all fixed. And they talked to several folks who have been with the bank for decades. They say this is the first time this has ever happened.
A glitch.
So, yeah. One mistake like this every 20 years, not the worst thing in the world for a couple hours. But in that moment, it creates a couple of very bad scenarios that if you are the person in possession of this card, will cause you to spiral in several different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Because first off, the biggest one, and I don't even think this is an argument.
What's that?
The embarrassment of the moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The shame.
But that's weird. That's the biggest issue. Because, like, unless you're on a first date, it should not matter that other people see you getting your card.
Yeah, but you look like... people are waiting.
But you look tapped out, man.
Okay.
And the cashier's like, you want to, you know, try another card. Like, you got to go through all the steps of, like, trying to make it work. Because you never do it just once and get declined. You do it, like, two or three more times.
It is funny how you'll do it harder. Yes. Like, that will help it have money.
Or, like, you'll blow on it, wipe it off.
But, like, here's the thing. Look, I get it. You're right. The embarrassment is terrible. But you don't know the person behind the counter.
No.
The folks standing in line behind you, what are the odds you're ever going to see them again?
But what's going through your head, what they're thinking.
Okay.
What they're saying in their head. It's the same thing you would be saying if you were watching a person go through.
But again, it's not like you're following that person home to watch how they live. Like,
this is a place that you go often, too. It could be your favorite, you know, coffee shop. Could be you just stopping at your local 7-Eleven,
anything
like that. But
if there's a gallery behind you, it's like the PGA, like you're watching your tee up. And now, his credits declined for the second time today.
All right, the second biggest issue. What? You assume when your card gets declined, the worst case scenario right away.
Yeah.
Because in this story, it was a bank mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no way that the folks who had their card declined thought that was a possibility at first. Your mind would go to, first, I've been ripped off.
Yeah.
Someone got my bank account, they emptied it.
Mm-hmm.
For wives, your mind would go to, what stupid thing did my husband buy or sign us up for that cost us all the money we had?
Yeah.
And for the folks that are walking that financial tightrope, which a lot of people are.
Sure.
Oh, my God. I'm already out of money,
yeah.
and I have only X amount of days until I get paid again, right? Not until you got a hold of your bank to find out what the actual issue was could you breathe confident that you are not financially ruined. And if everybody on Monday is calling ESL to try and figure out what's going on,
you ain't getting through.
Exactly. Right. You weren't going to know
the panic.
What your situation was. I am curious to the people that like went into their apps, if this happened to you, 252-WCMF, did it show your account was at zero, or was it just the card getting declined for insufficient funds? Because if I go into my bank account and it says zero, I'm flipping
out. Over.
Yeah, you got cleaned up. Can you imagine if you were on vacation in the
70s? Oh, God.
Nope. You're out of town, and, you know, what do?
So have you had this happen? I don't think it happens much anymore. But a couple of years ago, when I would go to Canada and try and pay with a card, it would always get declined because they think it was fraud.
It.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there were a couple of times where I had to call my bank in Canada and be like, no, I'm here right now.
Oh, so they think somebody ripped their card off and was pulling a move.
Yeah, like the further north I would get, the more likely it was to happen. 252 Southern Canada.
Yeah, you know, no, Mexico.
Also another country.
Oh, yeah. Not for long.
So, but the biggest problem, we'll get to in a second, 252-WCMF, let's talk to Jim. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
What's going on?
Yo.
I was on the way to work Monday. I always stop at the gas station and get a couple things for breakfast, a couple snacks, and it declined.
So
and
you
it
had
said,
you,
unauthorized user.
So you were one of the ESL Visa debit card holders.
Yep.
Okay. So when it said unauthorized user, what was the first thought that popped in your head?
I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Okay. Well, what was your fear? Did you think your account was empty? Did you think it was a mistake? What was the deal?
I just thought I got hacked a couple months ago and had to get a new card, and I thought it happened again.
Okay, so you assumed somebody stole all your money.
That would be my fear.
So I pulled out my phone. I have an ESL app on my phone, and I went to the chat part where you can chat with somebody on message.
Okay.
And a message popped up on my phone as soon as I put in what happened, and it said, we are experiencing technical problems with our Visa debit cards right now.
Whew.
So it told you that right on the app.
All right, well, that's good. So wait, did you have cash on you? Did you go card roulette?
Who's got cash?
I always carry at least 50, 60 bucks on
that's
me.
That's me. I always carry cash. I go downtown. I still don't cash. I go over here. Put a little ball of liquor. Go over there. I get a crap game of Atlantis, eh?
Yeah, I always got 50, 60 bucks on me.
I always got 60 large on me. See, that's how I roll.
Jim, what'd you get for breakfast?
A honey bun and a pack of mini donuts.
That is a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, I'm also a diabetic, see? I always keep a couple of dollars in my diabetic boot just for laughs and kicks, see?
I eat the same thing every morning. I don't know why, but I buy the same thing every morning.
I'm also kind of in a breakfast rut.
I mean, that breakfast will cost you $6 and a toe.
Jim. Yes.
Come on, Jimmy. You're better than that.
Jimmy Sugarfoot.
$4.
Jimmy, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest
of the day.
There goes Toeless Jim. But the biggest problem.
What's the biggest
problem? Past the embarrassment of everyone seeing you, past assuming that you are now, you have no money in your bank account. You've got no money until this gets taken care of.
You're in a pit.
Exactly. Like, unless you're someone like Jim where you're carrying cash on you, and he sounds like an older cat, so maybe that's by, you know, force of habit.
Yeah.
You can't get food, you can't get gas, you can't get coffee.
Stuck.
And, like, these were debit cards for these folks, so it's not even like they could go to an ATM.
You can't get any cash out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, so, unless you have a second bank account, like some oil baron, you had no way of remedying the situation.
Or, like, imagine if you're Jim and you're just getting, like, $4 worth of stuff. Like, would you have the balls to turn around and ask people if they could spare you a couple bucks?
No, you're not going to pay
him. I'm not asking for money, man.
All right, let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah. How am I paying them back?
So this has happened a couple of times to me.
Whatever.
Well, you know, I am a firm believer in a lot of people helped me out when I was in rough shape.
Yeah.
So try and pay it forward.
All right.
All right. So you're standing behind Jim,
mm-hmm.
and he's buying $4 worth of Honey Buns and sugar donuts.
Yeah.
It does sound delicious.
All right.
Car gets declined.
Yeah.
There's a line behind you. Do you step up and put his on your tab?
If he asks me?
No, he's not going to ask you because he's got too much pride.
Right.
Do you volunteer to step up?
No.
No? $4?
First of all, it's not like it's a buy that he needs.
No, but that's
like
just
if it's baby formula and chemo medicine, yeah.
You
but
lie.
If it's sugar donuts.
You would not do it for baby formula either.
Probably not.
Okay, bro, like it's $4. It's $4. Like that would change that guy's day. You
not
wouldn't
really.
Drop the $4.
No.
Kimmy?
I wouldn't get involved.
Okay.
Well, Kim, how would that be? Because that's also kind of demeaning to the guy.
It's easy to do. I've done it a couple of times.
Hey, Jimmy. Yeah, what can I do for you?
We both talk like that for some reason. No, there's been a couple of times where somebody's had their card declined for something small, and I've been there. You know, with our jobs, a lot of people have helped us out.
Yeah.
I just go, hey, put it on mine. I pay for it quick, and then I leave.
But that kind of is condescending.
I understand. It's not the greatest feeling in the world, but it's better than I'm going to stand here and try and figure this out and I'm not going to stand there and, like, shame them or say, like, you're welcome. It's, hey, have a good day, and I'm out. It's the right thing to do.
And as long as you don't bring it up, you know, and, you know, brag about it into a microphone.
I asked you a question, and I let you answer first.
I'm not talking about you. Say, I'm talking a little faster.
Kimmy, if you're behind the guy we just talked to, $4 decline,
yeah.
Do you step up and put it on your card, help the guy out, get the hell out of there?
He
doesn't ask. It's your call.
See, my fear would be, I would want to do that just to, like, keep things moving. It's more of a selfish reason. But my fear would also be, like, am I going to insult this person?
That's my thing.
Understood.
I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah. I've done this for a teenage kid.
You were just doing
before.
Old-timey voice. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I did this for a teenage kid once who was, like, counting out change, and he's coming up short. So I was just like, I'll get that. But I wasn't worried about offending a teenage kid.
So you're saying if you look someone up and down and it looks like they need it, you're more likely
to do it?
It was more like, yeah, I mean, like, this kid isn't going to have enough, clearly, so.
Like, let's say you saw an elderly woman.
Well, you've had a whole life to make money.
No, but you ruined
our generation's chance at owning a home. You're on your own with your Honey Bun, sweetheart.
So you're not going to help an old woman out? She's shaky.
Yeah.
She gets a change purse empty.
Empty change purse. Well, if you were paying with change, you didn't have it. Why'd you show up in the first place? Now this sounds like a scam.
So you're not hurting?
Of course, I'm paying for the old lady,
too. I'm just pushing her aside.
I love how you...
Out of my way, old bag.
You immediately go food stamps argument. They're buying lobster with her. You don't need Honey Buns and sugar donuts.
Up.
We got Instagram messages coming in talking about this ESL Visa debit card issue on Monday. Up until noon, when people woke up, their card was getting declined, and they had no idea why. And we're talking about the panic. Paul writes us. This happened to me on my first date with my current girlfriend, and it was so embarrassing having to tell her, yes, I do have money. I swear I'm not broke. Turned out my card got hacked at a gas station. They didn't get anything, but it locked my card. I've since switched banks.
First date. He's still with her.
He said my current girlfriend.
Damn. Because that's the worst.
Yeah.
Like when you're trying to like be a shiny new dime and you crash.
All right. We've talked to a lot of dicks on this show before.
Yeah.
But I think we're about to talk to
King Dick.
The dickiest of dicks that ever did.
King Dick.
Yes, right here. Ladies and gentlemen, your majesty, King Dick John. Hey, John, how are you, buddy?
Good, how you doing?
Good, John, what are you doing?
I work at a garage part-time,
uh-huh.
And I tell people their cards declined all the time just to watch their reaction.
You're a monster. You're a monster of a human being.
Maybe that's why you're part-time.
How long do you let it go before you tell them it wasn't declined?
Just a couple seconds.
Okay. I've never met you, but I think I hate you more than anyone I've ever met in my life.
That's like wings off a fly cool.
Seriously, John? John, has this happened to you in the past?
No.
You've never had your card declined once in your life?
No.
Okay, that makes you even more of a psychopath, yes. John.
But with John's voice, I'd believe him. Oh, why? What's wrong with my card?
Get over it. I'm ruining your day. This is what happens. Don't be a bitch.
Duffy, stop in. I'll decline your card, too.
Okay, Jen, yeah, you really make me want to go to the garage you work at, John. What are you going to do, smack me across the face when I get there, too?
I'm also not going to trust you when you tell me my car's fixed now, when you pull that move.
Yeah, yes.
It always sounds like you didn't fix something or you're just pushing me along here.
Yeah,
it's so sketchy.
Doesn't matter because the car will get declined.
All right, John, great call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Oh, my God.
He's that guy who, like, takes the work pranks too
cards,
far.
Yes.
Cards decline.
Yeah.
It's like just kidding. It works. No one through.
Everyone's having a good time. Kimmy, John shows up. Whoa, John. Whoa. Like this.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Story more than anything proves, the NFL shows you, we will watch, and it will make $1 billion. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. We told you earlier this morning, the NFL announced yesterday that they are changing how they will measure first downs. They will no longer rely solely on the stick and chain. They are going to use an overhead camera technological thing, and we'll get more details as we get closer to the season. But that happened because all of the NFL teams are together at the NFL Combine.
Yeah.
They have meetings, they talk to free agents, they figure new stuff out. And the big part of the NFL Combine is watching players work out.
The new guys.
You got it. Players who teams will be drafting in about 2 months.
Mm.
And that workout portion starts today.
And they're judging them, right? They're measuring.
Measuring and a judging, judging and a measuring.
Don't they, like, do every part of their, like, body?
Yeah, so they'll sit you down. You'll have, like, an actual physical. They'll measure every part of you. They then have you do, like, weightlifting-specific things to see how strong you are.
Yeah.
And then they run you through drills.
Right.
And depending on your position, you do different things. Mm-hmm. Everybody, however, runs the 40-yard dash.
Okay.
And, Kimmy, it seems that if you are going to watch the Combine, you are watching for the 40-yard dash.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to see the speed or non-speed.
Or just funny of it. I mean, yeah. Josh Allen, one of his most famous clips is him running the 40-yard dash.
His arms down.
Yes, like Moe's from The Office.
Oh.
Right? He runs with his arms straight down.
Oh, no kidding.
You don't watch any of this?
No, it's like exercise class.
It really is, yeah. Kimmy, do you?
I can't. Can you watch any of this?
Kimmy, do you watch this?
I don't go out of my way to. But if I do happen to catch it on TV, I do kind of get sucked into it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's not something that's on your radar, but, you know, once you start, it's kind of hard to turn it off.
All right. I will admit I'm ashamed by what I'm about to say.
What is that?
You had asked if I watch this.
All right.
I don't want to like this. I can't turn it off.
Yeah, you start getting a little interested.
It's so compelling.
But it's just, it's just a guy running a dash.
Yeah, but here's what it is, for me at least. I could be watching, like, the next superstar of the NFL, and I can say that I saw them either embarrass themselves or look really good before and say, like, yeah, I knew that guy was going
to
be good. Saw him first.
It allows you to be an armchair general manager, which fans love to do. I mean, Josh Allen's a perfect example of that. But going further.
Yeah.
Like, how many people saw Josh Allen run and be like, that guy's not going to make it?
How about Teron Johnson, Bill's nickel corner, who is arguably the best nickel corner in the NFL, got hit in the face with a football doing a drill because he wasn't paying attention. He looked the wrong way, and they blasted him in the head. It's a hilarious video. That guy became an NFL star.
All right.
But you're right, Kimmy. That's a great reason to watch. The reason I can't ever turn it off when
What's
it comes
that?
On, what happens over the next few days will be the difference for some guys between making, you know, having a $3 million contract being drafted in the second or third round versus having to make a team as an undrafted free agent. Like, there are some guys who could potentially go on day two, and then if they have a bad combine performance, will not get drafted. And their entire lives have gone into this moment. Everything you have done since you started working out, playing football, i.e. middle school, high school,
it all
the
comes
way,
down to this.
It literally all comes down to this. It is ultimate reality TV.
Sorry, so it goes through the weekend?
Yes. I think it's 3 days. Is it three days?
I think it's four.
Four
so
days,
do they show you the results, like, okay, at the end, like, how everybody did and where they're going to
So what happens?
There's no draft yet. So
what happens? Like rankings for things you can measure.
Yeah, and they'll tell you, and you know, this
is
helps.
It like an overall number one guy from all everything that they did.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know how the NFL is with numbers. Right. I mean, it helps dictate where these what they call mock drafts will start going. Right, it'll change. There are some superstars that won't be working out. For example, Shedeur Sanders, who is Deion Sanders' son, quarterback at Colorado.
Is he going in the draft this
year? He is in the draft this year. He could go as high as 2.
Okay.
He will not be working out.
No, why not?
Because he could only lose. Okay. He's got a high enough stock where he could only hurt himself by working out. A lot of the top players won't do it.
What's the one where they have to jump up and hit like different colored like things?
It's a vertical jump.
Yeah, but they have to hit like these different colors.
That's how they measure their jump.
Yeah, it's just there to see where they
I cannot watch that.
You know, there's some times where it's like, holy crap, it looks like they're flying. No, it doesn't do it for
me. Okay, the first guy, yes, but the 10th guy?
Well, what if the 10th guy's the best guy? Look, I'm ashamed that I like it, but I will. It's so compelling to me.
All right. Well, you're a super fan. I got no patience.
I mean, look, there's a reason they put it on TV.
I know.
They would not pay to produce this show. They would not pay talking heads to whisper over everyone running 40s if it wasn't making them a fortune.
It's kind of the way the Olympics sucks you in, right? Like those weird track and field events. Like,
I can't watch
normally you're not
going
to stick around and watch something like that. But hey, if that guy that comes next is going to jump even higher or even further, well, I'm kind of interested now.
Track and field just looks like... This is like ancient stuff.
It is ancient stuff.
That's why I don't like it.
It's the original competition.
Yeah, right. It sucked. That's why they kept adding things.
You don't get sucked into that during the
Olympics? No, like the fastest guy, yeah. Like the relay? Jesus Christ.
You're going to be the fastest guy. That's why you keep watching.
By far the best event, as we talk about the NFL Combine, the workout starting today on the NFL Network. You can watch it all live.
What's that?
Offensive lineman running the 40-yard dash.
Oh, fat guy's trying to run.
Well, no, because they're all the most athletic people you would ever meet
but
in person.
But they'll beat you in a race.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Because these guys run, some of them run sub-5 40-yard dashes with 350-pound bodies, which is insane.
Okay.
But watching how they run, because I will say this is a former fat guy.
It is cruel when they show it in slow motion.
Right? Like, first of all, there's a lot of jiggling happening.
Sure.
The arms are all in the wrong place. But they do it because they were told this will make you the most efficient. And if you are any kind of coach that has, you know, a couple chubby guys on your team, whether it's basketball, football, having to figure out how to get them to run the fastest, put your elbow this way, your arm this way, one leg in front of the other, and run like this.
How to be aerodynamic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah.
But, like, I've had several coaches when I was, you know, a 300-pound high schooler who was like, you know, if you run this way, turn your head slightly this way, you're going to be more efficient.
It's got to be like if you go to a drag race and some two guys show up in dump trucks.
It's a perfect
This is going
to
be funny.
And there are some offensive linemen that will run shirtless, too.
They're doing that for a game.
No, they're doing it because they think it makes them more aerodynamic and
lighter. Yeah, but with their boobies. Wouldn't it be like slapping them?
Yeah, they're flapping and they're whopping and flopping.
All right.
But I guess, I mean, if you're talking, again, a difference of a couple million dollars.
God, it's got to be so embarrassing, though, man.
But yeah, but okay, I'm rich. I've fulfilled my childhood dream.
And you're fat. No, I mean, who doesn't want to be rich and fat?
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.